The following is a tape recorded statement provided by Lanice Pettis. Today's date is April the 24th, year 2004. The time is approximately 11:45 in the afternoon. This statement is being taken at the residence of Lanice Pettis.
Well, what's 3456 Salem Court, Michigan City, Indiana.
I have identified myself to Lanice Pettis as Bill E. Branscombe, a private investigator retained by the law firm of Bob Bernhoft out of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, who has recently been retained by Wesley Snipes. Also present in the room are Chicago private investigator Bill Wagner and Indiana private investigator Dennis Heighton.
May I have his card or something?
Yeah, you can have that one.
Okay.
Dennis, would you introduce yourself for the tape?
Sure. Dennis Heighton, private investigator in Valparaiso, Indiana.
Okay. And Mr. Wagner?
I'm Bill Wagner, private investigator in Illinois.
Ms. Pettis, would you acknowledge for the record that you're aware I'm tape recording the statement?
Yes, I am. I'm aware of it.
Do you understand that this is a sworn statement and that once we get to the end of your statement, you'll be expected to swear or affirm that your statement is complete and correct to the best of your knowledge and belief?
Yes, sir, I do understand that.
Okay, then, Ms. Pettis, I want to make it clear to you that my role with regards to this inquiry is to fairly and objectively, open-mindedly develop the facts. I don't have any axe to grind here. I don't have an agenda. I don't have a personal interest or a conflict. I just want you to tell us what has happened here.
Okay.
I'm going to ask you a series of questions. I intended to guide your statement chronologically, but I don't intend that any question limit you to a yes or no answer.
Okay.
You understand that although yes or no answers are fine, if they're fully responsive to the question, you're free to say anything you like in response to any question I ask or interject anything you feel you want to say.
Okay.
Ms. Pettis, where and when were you born?
I was born in Chicago, 1971. Birth address on my certificate is 1308 North Bell Street in Chicago.
And your social security number?
My number is 358-547-556.
Okay. Where did you grow up?
Chicago.
Chicago. Mm-hmm. And who did you grow up with? I mean, who raised you?
My grandmother primarily raised me. I was raised by different family members. I was partially in Michigan City off and on, and in Chicago off and on. Mainly Chicago, though. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and what is your mother's name?
Patrice Pettis.
Your father's name?
Rudolph Roberts.
Okay. Have you ever been married?
No.
Now, the thing we're here to discuss with you today is the paternity action that's been filed in New York regarding Israel.
Israel Pettis, yes.
How many children do you have?
Honestly, sir, if you really, I understand this is a sworn statement. I'm only linked to three of my kids, but I have more than three children.
And how many children do you have?
There's nine of them. I became involved with the actor Wesley Snipes at the age of 12. I became impregnated at 12. I gave the birth to my first child when I was 13. My parents sent me away to a maternity camp in a lower part of the state in Illinois. Now that is the real story. I understand that I did not fully explain that to the court system because it only causes me more problems. And what I want you to understand today, sir, is that I have been wrongfully charged or responded against as though I have some sort of malicious intent to bring down Wesley Snipes' career, to bring down his marriage and his family. And I'm telling you that all of that stuff is trumped up and it's made up. If I cannot prove that, I still do know that. Okay, and I'm not finished yet. I'm not cutting you off. I'm just letting you know. If you guys really want to represent this gentleman, this is what the truth is. And that child is, his name is Deuteronomy Estratus Snipes. Wesley Snipes' real name is Jesus Estratus. He was born in Cuba. That is the truth. He is not from New York. He is from Chicago. He is my biological cousin. He and I share Hispanic ancestry. It's just that when people immigrated, some stuck with African Americans, some stuck within Latino ranges, and some stuck within a white range of family. But when I say that, I understand that the court system, I guess, only recognizes up to maybe third or fourth generation as being kin. He and I are five generations separated again by one another through, again, family ancestry. I swear to you, he's the one that's lying, not me. I had my second child by the time I turned 16.
What was okay? That child's name?
Her name is Silver Estratus Snipes. Now, she also has a different name, is Christine Miller. My kids were adopted out. My parents, I'm not going to tell you this. This is a case that I have been fighting ever since Mahogany. So now I'll bring you up to 1989 when Brandon Hammond was born, the actor. That's my son, too. His real name is Rashawn Armadillo. Okay? Now, Lauren.
But who is Rashawn's? Who's Rashawn's father?
Wesley Snipes.
Okay, so the first three children were all born. Wesley Snipes was the father.
Wesley Snipes is the father.
Okay?
And this is something that I know for sure.
Now, well, of course, at that age, I don't imagine that you were involved
no,
with other people.
No, I wasn't promiscuous at the age of 12. And again, I know him through family networking and family circles. And I do say that my family is aware of this. What has happened throughout the years, I have absolutely no idea. Everyone absolutely says that I have a mental disorder. I've never had a mental problem. The accusations against me having a mental disorder didn't come about until 1998. When I became pregnant with Mahogany Snipes. And this is what I want what you guys to understand, is now is my time to speak. I am against the wall here. I am not the perpetrator of a fraudulent lawsuit. I am the victim.
Let me ask you, I don't mean to interrupt you, but...
Okay.
Now, are the Beckmans aware that there is actually more than one child involved in this?
I discussed Brandon with them. At the time that I spoke to Attorney Beckman, I was so upset. Attorney Beckman took me through the initial grilling process. And I felt at that time, the more I say, the more trouble I get into. Everyone goes, no. And then they try to act and pretend as though they want to help me so much. Because these things never happen, and they'll say things like, "I don't care what we say to her, we can't get through to her. She's determined about this. She really thinks that these things occurred. She's made all of this up in her mind, and she believes herself, and things of that such." And that was the situation that I was under. So I figured, in order to gain my independence from those statements, I will just stick to the issue of Israel. Now, my memory is not quite clear, but I know that the case just circulates and is around Israel. That is why I want to know specifically who hired you, because, see, the case, even though maybe a shaky background, a judge did preside over it. Mm-hmm. And everything legally that Mr. Snipes argued initially, we got past that in court. Nobody's waving around support for me. It was just the legalities of the case. That's the only reason why I gained the right to have a paternity test taken with him. Order of judgment, basically the judge had no choice but to give me the order of judgment. Your client was insufficient in court. His secretary, and I'm loosely quoting from the documents. I apologize. I do not have my documents on hand. Personal, emotional issues. I just wanted to throw it away. I had gotten past that. In December of 2002, he was ordered to take the test. This is not something that we jumped up and decided to take a test and fly. I don't know if you know, what legal background you've really been given here.
Well, and let me answer that just so we can maybe save some time. The answer to that is very simple, and it's like none. Because Bob Bernhoft, as I told you, was recently retired. And of course, he's going to have access to whatever the files were in the actual case file.
Okay.
And basically, he's asked me to just go out and do what evidently nobody has really done, is go out and talk to you and find out what's actually going on here.
No one spoke to me. I've been labeled as a liar. Rob Beckman and the team up there have made me feel comfortable in saying, from a legal standpoint, if you tell the truth, we're going to pursue it, and we're going to be behind you all the way. But I understand if I'm not telling the truth, it's me who's in hot water. Rob Beckman has stated to me also that they are the only ones, basically, who knew of the case, who were in support of just getting it done, even just for technical reasons. Okay, I assure you that though I have no proof, I am not lying. Wesley Snipes, again, his name is Jesus Estrades. He did not speak English when he came to Chicago because members of my family, who were members of both of our family, it's just that on certain sides of the family, they're closely related to him and then distant from me and vice versa. My close relatives, but yet his distant relatives, are the ones who taught him English, and by then he was already school age.
Now, where are the first children that you named? Where are they now?
My kids are, to the best of my knowledge, they are in the United States military. Deuteronomy, spelled just like the Bible. I'm sorry, I get tripped up sometimes. I don't want to misspell my son's name, but it's just like the Bible. Deuteronomy. They're both in the military. Okay, now this is what the issue is. I'm gonna have to give you the paternity of all my kids. Lauren Johnson, the little girl that you met at my grandmother's house, she is biologically Wesley Snipes' daughter. Lauren has a twin named Leonard. Their names are Leonard Zachariah Estrades Snipes. And Lauren's name is Lorena Adorie Zion Estrades Snipes. They're twins.
And
he has the twin.
Oh, he has the twin.
He has the twin. Okay, now after that, now I spoke once before that a doctor had violated me before. And a doctor did violate me fertility-wise. When I was tested one time as a routine checkup, and actually this goes back to a very long time ago, but it was still in my file some kind of way, so some doctors had traces of this. My body is overactive in the fertility area, believe it or not, but it is. And so I produce twins very easily, and you know, just multiple, basically, medically, I'm ideal for someone who is a candidate to be infertile, for them to use my fertility. So as a way of intimidation, once before, one of my eggs was planted with Wesley Snipes' sperm. Someone else carried her, but the child is alive. Now that baby was born in 95. Her name is Darnacia Noel Estrades Snipes. So if you can trace Wesley Snipes, and if he has kids, and I don't know what he's changed their names to, but if their names, real names, after you get through all the rhetoric of the red tape and the paperwork, if their names are Rashawn Amadillo, a.k.a. Brandon Hammond, who will be 15 years old this summer, Leonard Zachariah, probably a.k.a. maybe Lamar, and also Darnacia Noel, and I believe they changed her name several times, she'll be 9 years old. Okay, so Leonard is the twin to Lauren. Now we get down to Mahogany. Her name is Mahogany Elzea Snipes, but somewhere along the line, there is a literal name change. I spoke of Mexico. So this is going to have to go basically country to country, international. Mahogany's name is Margarita Mahogany Elzea Snipes. That is her real name. Now we get down to Israel. Now, to the best of my knowledge, Israel's real name is probably filed as Israel Prophesia Terrell Estrades Snipes, or Israel Prophesia Wesley, but I think it's Terrell. Okay, now, if I provided only half of statements, it's because I can't prove the rest of it. And the only thing I have gotten was accusations back that I'm a liar, and I'm going, I'm not lying. Then that what I spoke of earlier, it started folding over into, you just have a mental disorder that you can't control, and it's not your fault. Now we want to talk about putting you on medication.
Who's talking about that?
This is what took place over at DCFS in 98 with Mahogany. I spent 2 weeks at a St. Elizabeth Hospital over in the Wicker Park neighborhood that is located on Claremont and Hirsch. And another cross street would be Oakley and Hirsch, Oakley and Lemoyne. And that was the way it went. And that's the way it was dismissed, basically, as being that. So Wesley Snipes, I think his office was contacted. They had no knowledge of me, don't know nothing about this baby. He wasn't traveling in Chicago. She's on drugs. They washed their hands of the whole thing. So I did come in contact with him. a little bit later. But what I'm saying is I've always had contact with him. I don't know what his problem is denying me at this point. I don't feel, see, from a moral standpoint and a characteristic standpoint, I'm coming against a whole society that has paperwork about something that I'm telling you was made up. When Wesley Snipes went to New York, he left Indiana going there, and he had already been in trouble. And he was granted the chance to get away, make his life better, but he was under some sort of, I don't know if it was witness protection or what, and that's basis of how his name got changed through some family association. The name Wesley Snipes is a kid from Florida who's younger than him, but when he changed his name from Bernard Beatty, it's because Bernard Beatty, or Bernardo Beatty, which is probably his first name because he's Spanish, Bernardo Beatty had a record. And whomever turned 18 years old, Wesley Snipes, did not have a record. So he changed his name to a cousin of his name. And an investigator called me up when the case first got started. And I don't know if you guys are aware of the way he said, you know, okay, well, I got reported when this case got started saying that I was prostituting and using drugs. And I denied that. I said, listen, that is not true. And I don't know where this is coming from. But it's just ironic to me how I got that phone call March of 2002, when the case got underway in April of 2002, yet there was already, I believe at that point, New York already had accepted the case and said there will be a court date. So to prove that, I called the caseworker back, which was Child Services, and I said, listen, I'll go take a drug test right now. Child Services came over my house within the hour. I hopped on the city bus. I was down to the local hospital. I took a drug test. Never heard anything else about it. Nothing at all. So what I'm saying to you is that my past lifestyle, or example of, I want to stay away from saying state of mind because I know that I'm not crazy, but not taking care of myself, being promiscuous, having different sexual partners is the scapegoat here. People are not dealing with what the real issue is. So the problem that I have with this whole thing, going through this whole thing and reliving it all again, is I've already fought through this red tape. An investigator called me and said, listen, you know, I don't think that you know my client, and this is mistaken identity, some guy in Chicago running around using Wesley Snipes' name. All right, well, he must have been using Wesley Snipes' name when I was 12 then. But, you know, I didn't say anything to him. So I said, well, listen, you know, to the best of my knowledge, Wesley Snipes was born in Mexico. And I gave him just basic information. He called me back about, I don't want to give a time frame because I don't remember now, but he did call me back and he said that I was correct. That there is a Jesus Estrada that was born in Cuba. And he, I guess, eventually did change his name to Wesley Snipes. So I was under the impression that this investigator felt, well, hey, maybe she is on to something. But after his second step in investigation, he dismissed his investigation as mistaken identity because Wesley Snipes was born in Florida, which still conflicts everything that he's ever publicly said, that he was born and raised in New York. But yet this investigator told me that he was born in Florida. So I just said, fine. And what I was under the impression was the reason why the case didn't go through is if I'm saying that Wesley Snipes has another birth name, we need to file under the birth name. So that is how the paperwork did go through. I don't know if Rob Beckman will talk to you or let you examine any of your paperwork. It went through AKA Wesley Snipes. We want Bernard Beatty, birth name Jesus Estrada, who we still say is Wesley Snipes, who under an entertainment contract many years ago was able to take on that name as well as a public profile about who he is, where he was educated, and what he has become now. That is what the backbone that to my testimony was to them. So somewhere along the line, I don't believe that Attorney Beckman has shared every legal possibility with me for confidential reasons.
Well, have you shared all, I mean, have you explained to Attorney Beckman all of this? I mean, do they have a clear concept of
everything? I did not explain, I didn't explain everything to him again for what I said, and for fear of being wrongfully incarcerated and saying I have no family support regarding this. It is not like people do not know this. They do know it. And if somebody was going to say, well, hey, listen, you know, this is the backbone, I can understand. I'm a mature enough person to know they don't know who, technically, if you weren't there to see anything, then you wouldn't physically and honestly know. But to meet me up to halfway in being honest about what has happened, rather than letting, I don't know, some sort of a media swarm or some false information consume me, as though I'm not the one telling the truth and I'm the one trying to bring somebody down. That's why I'm really scratching my head about this whole thing. Where did Indiana lose him at? Because he did time in Indiana. So now, what are we confused about now? Now, and another thing is, some lookalike. Where is this lookalike? I know the criminals can run for years. I'm not ignorant to that. Yet, there was all this confidence and this just array of just charisma. We're going to help, and we're going to find this lookalike guy, and we're going to bring him to justice, you know. And then when it wasn't the charisma, it was the clear cut, strongly fed, strongly said, straightforward, you know, that hard drill like this. And this is not me. This is just somebody trying to bring down my career, or some guy running around fooling women and going to bed with them, trying to embezzle money under my name, who's running with some theft ring, basically. Then it went from that to, well, this is an attack, character assassination, you know. So again, I've been up through this whole thing. What the explanation is, what I think may be going on, you know, I can think of a whole bunch of possibilities. I've already spoke of these possibilities. I told Rob Beckman there was a level of abuse that was happening. I told him that I've been abused. I told him also that I was also threatened regarding music, that my endeavors in music or television would never come true if I spoke about things that are happening in the doctor's offices or things that happen behind basically the casting couch. That's what's...
Who threatened you?
That's where the haze comes in. At I know that I was threatened, but it's really hard to pinpoint at that point whom, because I still say that I have been drugged, poisoned with what I now know, or at least then I knew also would be GHB. This was before the date rape drug had made headway in the knowledge of the public as to what it was. I would come home feeling like I had sexual activity, and I wouldn't recall being sexually active. My grandmother would make really strange statements to me, and as a youth, I was rebellious, yes. But my grandmother and I would argue as though, like, just dogs arguing with each other. She would be telling me that I said something and I did something, and I wouldn't recall it. And then I would say, I didn't do that. And, I mean, we would just, and, you know, later on it dawned on me that my grandmother had been poisoned as well. But I can't discuss that with my grandmother because she doesn't accept that that's a possibility. She doesn't think that things such as hypnosis is a reality. She doesn't believe that she could have possibly been somewhere and someone may have recognized her and maybe slipped her a Mickey, you know, not in a drink of alcohol per se, just in a restaurant, maybe perhaps a local setting, somewhere of trust. What I'm talking about is things that happened many years ago. My grandmother used to be, I don't know if she told, she used to be a housekeeper. And my grandmother traveled a lot with the family that she worked for, and she would be gone some at times, weeks at a time. It was not an act of negligence, it was just her job. And it was, I guess often is what your perception of being often is, but I would say family travel during holiday times and things of that such. So a great, great area that is happening, there's a lot of things that occurred that my grandmother doesn't know happened when she either trusted me home alone when she was gone all night, or when she was gone maybe the whole weekend or the entire week. Or who she left me in the care of, I didn't tell their secrets. So, you know, and that's not something that the court is like, okay, now listen, we need a defense here. You know, and I don't want to seem be the one to seem like I'm just rambling on. But I'm telling you the truth about some things that have happened in my past. I was sexually active with a man 10 years my senior. So, you know, if I'm so bad now, what does that make him? And how in the world, now this ain't Billy Tipton, and I didn't believe the Billy Tipton story when I saw it. How in the world could a woman be married to a man for 30 years and not know that that's a broad? I mean, a woman. I'm sorry. How could you be married to somebody that long? you know, some things just don't fit. And that's the thing about what has been sewn airtight against me. Everybody's saying, hey, listen, we were filming a movie. Yet the movie that they said that they filmed at the time in the report was a movie that had already been released and gone public. This is a movie that they're talking about a couple of years prior to the year of conception. Okay, so this is about, I'm pretty sure, and I want to say this in confidence, it's not arrogance, it's in confidence. When you read this report, you will find that his secretary's testimony was insufficient. Wesley Snipes was asked by his lawyer, by the judge, his lawyer was told that if he wants his affidavit to be seen as a legal affidavit for them to accept his testimony, it had to be notarized correctly. If you're going to say that you no longer have any affiliation or residence in New York, then notarize it where you're at. If you're in Florida, notarize it in Florida and send it back. If you have a legal residence here in New York, then it is correct. But if you're going to notarize something in New York and say, listen, I don't live in New York, I don't work in New York, I live in Florida, well, then it needs to be notarized in Florida. And that never happened. So we went to court in April, and that was the initial incident jurisdiction. Attorney Sloan, you say you're not familiar with, says, listen, Judge, Wesley Snipes, this is mistaken identity. Keith Collins has already come forward. He's the father of the child. Well, by that time that he made the statement, we already had the paternity test from Keith Collins, saying negative. So I don't know where along the line there was miscommunication or why they didn't get that information, but that is the statement that he made in court. Okay, well, the affidavits we're looking at, and of course, the judge asked, went through the questioning process, asked me, you know, my testimony is flim-flam to them. They don't really take it seriously. But technically, he needs to do something. So now we get another court date, plus where are the witnesses and things of that such. So he says witnesses will be there. So we went back to court in May. And I don't think the witnesses came in May either, nor did he have a new affidavit filed either. And by that time, technically, the lawyer didn't have a reason why he didn't have the affidavit filed, unless he said maybe it's being filed, we didn't have enough time. It was something to that effect. I don't want to quote him, but I do know technically he didn't have it. So we went to, our next court date was in June. All this was in 2003. Same thing. And I believe that it was in June when his secretary testified, and we stayed in court all day again. And mind you, first time I went to court, we were there 8 hours. The second time I went to court, we were there roughly like 6 hours. So the next time I went to court, still a long day. The secretary testified to the same things twice. We listened to her testimony all morning. We had lunch. We came back. We listened to her testimony again all afternoon. Basically, final judgment by the judge, testimony insufficient. Motion still denied to have this case dismissed. We get back to court in August. It's nothing but an argument. I think I was there maybe 2 hours this time. The judge told Wesley Snipes' attorney then, William Sloan, to have whatever document and proof that you need to show that your client did not travel. The case did go on, I forgot to mention this in the beginning, regardless to whatever the name change I said that he's had, regardless to the origin, because they argued all of that he was born and raised in New York or Florida or whatever they said. So they argued all of that, but the case went on initially regardless of that. So now I'll bring you up to August again. And a deadline date from August, I believe it was the 8th, to September the 27th was given. And the judge said, whatever you have as your defense, to have it in by September the 27th, I will look it over, and November the 1st, I will give you my judgment. On November the 1st, we got to court. I think I was there all of 20 minutes. He had nothing. Zip. The judge basically said, and I don't want to quote the judge, but loosely, he told him what to do. You don't have it. Why don't you have it? Attorney Sloan did not have an answer. Mm-hmm. He basically said he didn't know. The judge said, order paternity test taken. Take, you know, basically, he had no choice by that point. Okay, so it's right one of the copies that I gave you. Okay, December 2002, Israel and I, we went to Valpo, Indiana. There's a laboratory over there. The name escapes me right now. We took our test. I'm on the impression from there it was flown to New York. Now this was in December 2002. We were supposed to have the results back February 2003. We got to court. Attorney Sloan, I loosely quote him as well, did not know why his client did not take the test. Says he did follow the advice of the courts. So what, basically what I'm understanding is that legally, Attorney Sloan is saying, listen, I did my part. I informed my client. I told him. Okay, so now, but I'm asking the courts, Attorney Sloan is asking the courts for one more chance to convey the severity of this case to Wesley Snipes. And even though, I guess, what they starting to understand by this point is though, even though paternity questionable, even though identity questionable, we're still asking him to take it. So then we get there again in May of 2003, still no paternity test. Again, I was only there 15, 20 minutes. The judge said he has no choice but to send it upstairs. I believe the next department was called intake. I, from there, wasn't allowed to participate in the hearings because I was told that there was no phone in intake, which I was participating in the hearings by telephonic testimony over in the support county. And that's the basic to the end of it. I think it was late July when I got just a short memo in the mail from my attorney here saying Priscilla Jo Beckman saying that there was a warrant issued for Wesley Snipes' arrest. Basically, it's just a bench warrant from the way I was explained to him. If he comes within this jurisdiction and we're notified about it, he is expected to turn himself in to take the test. And this was July 2003. And that's basically, that's what happened.
In talking to your grandmother, one of the things that was kind of disturbing to her is she said that you had told her that you and Wesley Snipes had gotten married, but that the government had told you that you couldn't.
Correct. Sure did. There were some people at the time. I told you Wesley Snipes used to be in big trouble. Okay, now we're talking about somebody who does have a background in drugs. So, yeah, and there was members of the government at that time. They did identify themselves as government agents. At this point, if they were literally government agents or not, I mean, who would actually know? I mean, I take the same chance of you guys sitting here today. But I'm not accusing you guys of that. I'm just saying the circumstances were very strenuous. They were violent. I witnessed them being seen physically being punched and abused. I was punched and abused. And that's one reason why Brandon Hammond was born at 6 months. So I was 6 months pregnant when I gave birth to Brandon Hammond at Loreto Hospital on the west side. And yeah, I was using drugs and I didn't have a problem. I had just began with, I guess, the experimenting process. And now I got my new freedom, 18 basically. I can do what I want to do. You know, can't nobody tell me when to come and go. So I guess I was using drugs. I was smoking out, drinking alcohol. But I had also been physically violated. And the thing about it is, I was taking birth control pills at the time, as well as I went to 10 South Kedzie, a location in Chicago. That's like a free clinic in our neighborhood. And I got a pregnancy result back of negative. But yet, a month later, I physically gave birth to a baby. But yeah, and I mentioned Tijuana, Mexico.
Where did you get married?
I say it was Tijuana, Mexico, but something else I just didn't mention. It was a marriage that took place in Illinois. And I was under the impression that when I kept talking about this paperwork that I signed, I was under the impression that in 99, I believe it was, a date in 99, that I would start to receive all the paperwork that I had been claiming that I signed and had been filed. And that's when I started catching this hell about delusions. I couldn't remember anything that was accurate to anybody. That would be proven information. At the time, all I got was denials. I was told that, you know, he's got a girlfriend now, she's Asian, and she's pregnant. I'm like, okay, with my egg, though. You know, I'm talking about a crew of people or a clique of people, however you want to call it, a group of people who have conducted criminal acts against people who I still maintain my innocence. I've had to sit back and watch people impregnate themselves with my eggs and his sperm and claim this is his child. It is his child, but I'm the biological mother. That's the problem that I'm dealing with. I don't know where your client is coming from.
Is he aware of those things going on?
He's aware of it. Mm-hmm. And I'll say that he's aware of it. I mean, I get a call. I called my dad. And you have to understand why I was so angry yesterday. I called my dad. I want to reassure my family that I'm in no way being fraudulent. I'm in no way making these things up. And the only thing I got from a family member of mine who should be fully aware of me having a child when I was 13, seeing how you're the one who sent me away to the maternity camp in the first place, twice, I got a whooping The second time, when I was 16 years old, after my six-week checkup, when the doctor said, you're fine, my father whooped my ass for the second baby, okay? So now all of a sudden, don't nobody know what I'm talking about, and it's me that needs the help. So if my grandmother's disturbed, I'm damn disturbed too. Because I was expecting something that I was under the impression was legal, though confidential and not easy to find. Joe Blow shouldn't be able to go and pick up what Lanice Pettis has done over in Mexico or even here in Chicago, or who signed for her to go when she was just 17. But by the same token, if legitimate gentlemen such as yourself that take a legitimate interest, there's a legal, a question of legality here, something should be somewhere. And that's the problem, you know. And then I was told, well, if I did, you know, and this is the thing that disturbs me. There was talk somewhere along the line in Illinois as well, as though that's possible that some paperwork is somewhere and maybe someone is examining to see if it's legitimate, but yet you're still, people are still denying that this is the same person. You want to try to separate the two people when, you know, if I was sexually active with somebody, it wasn't to my knowledge, but yet that's what they want to use. Well, okay, well, then now we feel sorry for you because you've been hoodwinked. You know, and this is the whole thing that's bothering me.
While we were talking to your grandma, your sister came over, and we talked to her a little bit, and she said that one of the things that she found confusing was that you had had a relationship with Michael Jordan, I think, and she had never seen Michael Jordan or met Michael Jordan, but she said that you had indicated to her that you had a relationship with Michael Jordan.
I don't know how my sister interpreted anything that I've said regarding Michael Jordan, but at this point, if I'm within the legal rights of just basically not discussing Michael Jordan regarding my case against Wesley Snipes, so this is a whole thing about people are trying to say, even my sister. Now, if my sister's going to say that, then I guess she's trying to say that I'm just indicating superstars regarding. But yeah, I have met Michael Jordan before. Personally, I do not like Michael Jordan. I do not get along with him on the occasions that we've met. I disagree with his philosophy. I think that to a certain degree, there's just been some grounds that is lost. I think, you know, the public has been misinformed about a lot of our celebrities as though they're more couth than what they really are in person, and that they expect to be treated in a manner that they feel is above everyone else. So any sexual indication between he and I don't remember indicating that to anybody. And at least not even my sister. Because when I started speaking of Wesley Snipes, all of a sudden nobody knew anything about that. Well, you never told us that before. So that part is foggy to me. But I would just like to, I mean, that is not proven in my case against Wesley Snipes, even if I did. Because I'm not claiming, I'm not filing against Michael Jordan. But personally, I have met Michael Jordan. No, we do not get along. I do not intend on trying to get along with him if I ever see him again. I do not have an intent to try to contact him. I am not a fan. None whatsoever. As him, as well as a whole list of other celebrities and politicians. Mm-mm. No, I have met him before.
Who else have you met?
I don't want to go through the list, but if it comes up, anything directly comes up that I need to try to address, I will try to address that.
Well, because your sister had named some people, and she said that, I guess, Prince had stolen some song lyrics from you or something.
I never indicated that Prince stole any song lyrics from me at all. I like Prince's music. And what I said was, just like yesterday, when I brought my notebook down, someone did steal some song lyrics from me. That is true.
But it that wasn't Prince?
I don't ever recall indicating Prince. Only thing I've ever said was that I like his music and that his music was probably parallel to my thoughts. And that's strange, you know, something like that. But I don't ever remember saying that Prince stole anything from me. But I have said that, you know, I've been listening to this stuff on the radio. I could have sworn that was in my notebook and that I'm the author of that. And I could have sworn that when I passed my lyrics through to certain people, you know, I thought certain things were taken care of in on the honor system, and you know, but no, I mean, I've never said that Prince stole any lyrics from me.
Have you ever met Oprah Winfrey?
I have met Oprah Winfrey before.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
How did you meet her?
I don't remember the exact occasion. There was, I don't know, it was a dinner, a function, a small dinner function. It was a while ago. But I didn't get a very good impression of her either. What I'm saying is that years ago I've said, listen, I've met these people. They have a background, and I indicated our church a long time ago. I said this yesterday. A long time ago, my family sang gospel music. They were fairly famous. Through associations of theirs, on down the line, people just tend to keep contact sometimes. I mean, you can run into, I speak third person, you, a person that's within the music realms may run into the descendant of anybody who was famous at one time, to just avoid naming names, famous entertainer. There's always the opportunity for those who would like to become a part of television, and whatever your angle is, me, I would take the grassroots route. Somebody who has not been educated, somebody who just probably didn't live up to their full potential at the time, yet feel that I still would have the same skills as someone else given the correct training. Okay? I don't mean to not answer the question specifically, but I ain't slept with Oprah Winfrey either, so but no, I do not get along with a lot of people because I feel that they're a little bit too over opinionated towards others in boundaries and areas where they shouldn't be. I can respect a person for their opinion. I don't have to agree with you. I don't have to like you. You don't even have to be welcome to my house. I don't have to come to your house. But I don't attack you and call you crazy, delusional, detached from reality, someone who needs help simply because you may come in my house and see that picture and say, well, that's not Jesus Christ. You know, and, you know, to people who've been around, maybe you don't quite understand, but to people that's been in a closed circle or to be exposed to people who are completely closed-minded, I have ventured outside of the Christian religion. And at one time, I did denounce Christianity, so my family thought maybe I was an atheist or gone crazy or something. She's running around with these right knowledge people, these Scientology. She don't believe in Jesus Christ anymore. Oh, Lord. So that caused a whole lot of trouble. I mean, I've got being seen as being unfit and things like that. See, some things that people will not acknowledge, what I'm saying is that a lot of people have taken the result of what has happened, my physical actions, but in the end, say, look, see, we told you that she was headed for trouble or this and that. They're not acknowledging the aggravation or the some of the wrongful motivations that led to a lot of it. They didn't acknowledge the coals that they put in that fire to blow that fire up. You know, so what I'm saying is that a lot of people haven't held up their end in the responsibility of just letting bygones be bygones. I've been followed before. I've been tailed by investigators before. And the thing about it is that I'm the one that's at a loss because I'm just open. I mean, yeah, I used to smoke reefer, so if I had met you 5 years ago, I'd have fired it up around you. What would have happened? I don't know. Maybe you would have just took notes on me, or maybe you would have taken me to jail. But you would know all my business, basically, in that aspect. You know, sexual conversation. I've enjoyed myself talking about who, you know, not necessarily who in detail, name-wise, but sexual conversation stuff. And so I have heavily indulged. And the thing that bothers me is that at the time, I was made to feel comfortable, like, girl, go on, express yourself. So I know what it's like for this whole story in a way to be turned around and for people not to acknowledge their end and their dealings with things. And because I've said, yeah, I've met some celebrities, I don't like these people personally.
Had you met Bill Clinton?
Yeah. I met Bill Clinton too.
How'd you meet
Bill Clinton? Bill Clinton is related to us. I'm related to Bill Clinton.
Really?
Yeah.
How are you related to Bill?
I'll call Bill up and ask him. I'm the same person.
He won't take my call.
Well, I'm the same person. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to get off track here, but you got to understand something. Is that who I say is a liar and has been dishonest and who has deceived the public into thinking, well, and has used the forefront of being a liberal for some activities that probably some activities that were not right. And I personally still say I see the unfolding in this country right now with this whole war going on in Iraq that has something to do with things that happened a long time ago that the public had no idea about. So it didn't just start with Bush and whatever her name is, Condoleezza Rice, in August the 8th. And I've made statements such as that. I've said that, yeah, August the 6th or whatever is important. So I guess these are the things that have been taken out of context. August the 6th is extremely important because the government wants to know what did you know and when did you know it. But by the same token, you can't necessarily narrow something as large and as huge of an event as the World Trade Building getting bombed to 1 month's time frame of it happening. Something had to go on. Who would want to bomb something, a financial institute that stabilizes basically the world rather than being a part of it? Did somebody just get mad one day and blow it up? No. You know, so these are the type of statements that people disagree with me about. And see, I have not been correctly represented here. I'm not being correctly represented. I'm being put in a shell that I'm supposed to think like everybody else thinks. You know, if I said, well, I have met Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton is biologically related to me. I just told you. My ancestry is Hispanic. Okay, so now all of a sudden, what I'm supposed to agree? You know, and even if it's not basic facts, people talk about things. And if a conversation comes up and I don't agree, I can choose to either stay out of it or just wade through it. That's not my area. That's not my forte. So these are things, yeah, that's been held against me. That came up in DCFS. I told a lot of things in DCFS. And when they contacted Wesley Snipes or whomever they contacted, they said Wesley Snipes hasn't traveled to Chicago. And he doesn't know this woman. We don't know her. She's not on our security list. And I'm going, I better be on the security list. You know, and they're going, no, you ain't. So that was the basis of that. That's what happened.
Well, I think that pretty much covers everything I have. Is there anything else that you'd like to say? Anything I haven't asked you that I should have asked you?
No, sir, not at this time. I do appreciate you guys coming back. I appreciate you giving me the call. I'll let you know up front that I intend to contact attorney Robert Beckman here. I contacted him yesterday. Get my stuff.
Sure. I just want to make sure we don't forget it.
Okay. I contacted attorney Beckman yesterday. Did you get his address and things?
I'm sure that attorney Bernoff has.
Okay.
That.
I contacted him. I told him that you guys were here. I'm glad that you did clarify that because I just want to say I'm asking you guys. Legally, I know you're not on my side. You just want to know what my story is. Mm-hmm. But the point is, I assure you that your client did not meet the requirements of the court system, and that was the reason why I was granted the judgment of a paternity test. Secondly, this has taken me through this process all over again, and I'm the one being falsely incriminated here. Maybe incrimination is a strong word to use, but do you understand what I mean loosely when I say that?
Well, I just want to be clear. I mean, you don't feel like we're
I don't,
not threatening
no, no, no.
You
I don't anything. Feel like that you are, but regardless to you coming in here either shaking me or simply having this conversation asking me, there's legal ramifications, and there's a legal process that this whole thing must go through. I've been through this legal process already. I've talked to an investigator. I've gone through the process with the state of Indiana. Nobody was waiting for me doing a rah-rah dance. Hey, come on, we're going to take Wesley Snipes to court with no proof, no address to drop off the paperwork at, no social security number or nothing. All right, let me put my career on the line here as the prosecuting attorney for the county and make a fool out of myself and waste my time and not go out here and get some bum off the street who's your real baby daddy. You understand? This is the type of mentality I'm dealing with. And I do believe that Wesley Snipes, as well as probably others, have had decoys around here. Some of the young women and some of the young men who have been associating with the residents here, I believe that's who they are. Not all these people are actually their friends. This is a complex. It's a small town. It's a complex. A lot of young women live out here who are young, just starting out with their own apartments. They have kids. Excuse me. So that's the whole resident, basically. There may be some, there's some elderly out here, yeah. There's some more stable out here, yeah. But the basics, this residence, 9 o'clock at night on Friday, this is where the party is, mm-hmm. especially out there. Mm-hmm. I have never, ever, not one time, indulge in anything that goes out on outside of my door. I've stood on the porch a couple of times and they ran me back in the house. I've had to deal with that bitch know that Wesley Snipes ain't none of her damn baby daddy. I don't remember sleeping with this broad either. So how would she know? And we know she ain't nothing but a dope head. Yeah, I used to be. But what am I today? I'm clean and sober. And as a matter of fact, I'm cleaner than you are making that statement because you're drinking alcohol and I'm not. You know, over there, I mean, there's been fights. And only thing I've said, when I've called the police, I've never said, I really believe that Wesley Snipes or maybe other people have sent decoys over here and it's causing or adding to the disturbances that's going on out here. There's just been basic neighborhood trouble, loud parties, cussing, glass. There's glass broken in front of my home. Now, I don't drink. I didn't have that bottle. You know, the girl next door, she got everybody in town at her house. People around, everybody in town, big family. Etc. But I still believe that a lot of the illegal activity, unless they had immunity for frying up a joint or a blunt, you know, you think you're going to catch Niecy up in it, which is one of my nicknames, Niecy, Nene, Apple. My nickname was Apple when I was a kid. And a lot of people do know that. So if you think you're going to catch Apple out there, you're not, because it's just not my lifestyle. And I've had enough of it. And I just feel like I've learned my lesson. And I say that the 1330 North Bell is an area that I grew up in partially because I was born over there. So I said that the conception took place at the address 1330 North Bell. Those residents no longer live there. That building has been rehabbed. I was asked about Patrick Barnes yesterday. I do not know Reginald Barnes. I wouldn't know him if he came here and jumped rope. But Patrick Barnes, I've been knowing basically all of my life. Those are my mother's friends. They live at formerly a 1330 North Bell. They were there 30 years before their mama passed away, and they were financially unable to maintain the property. So it was sold and then rehabbed. Now, I don't know what type of link Goldie would have to my case against Wesley Snipes. I'm trying to figure that one out all night, but I don't have any contact. I have spoke to Arthur Barnes, which is Goldie's oldest brother, and he lives at 69th and Winthrop, 63rd and Winthrop. It's not a hard to find building, but his name is Arthur Barnes.
South side of Chicago.
No, the south side. It's either 63rd or 69th. I think it's 69th and Winthrop. But Arthur Barnes, formerly a resident of 1330 North Bell. Frederick Barnes is in jail, and Samuel Barnes, to my best of my knowledge, is in Atlanta, Georgia. But I, you know, again, what Goldie got to do with my case? I wouldn't know. But that's, I mean, I don't want to just give out people's names and subject them to an investigation that's not pertaining to these gentlemen.
I don't see us going to talk to them.
Okay.
Anyway, in closing, I need to ask you to state whether or not any of us have offered you anything or threatened you with anything or somehow frightened or coerced you into talking to us, anything like
that. I willingly state that the three gentlemen here who identified themselves, I'm sorry your names escaped me, my memory at the time, I, Lanice Pettis, do not feel in any way that I've been coerced into making any of these statements, bribed, or offered anything. I don't feel that I was threatened today at all. And honestly, I appreciate you guys coming by and being as cordial as you have and patient as you have, I just resent this process again.
Okay. Well, I'm going to need to ask you, you know what perjury is?
I do know what perjury is. It's making false statements under the oath to the law authorities.
So, mindful of your obligation to tell the truth in a sworn statement.
Okay.
Do you swear or affirm that the statements that we've recorded here on this tape are true and correct to the best of
your
knowledge
and belief? Yes, I do. I swear they're true, they're correct, to the best of my knowledge, my belief, and as well as my memory.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that. And that will conclude the statement of Lanice Pettis. The time is now 12:38 in the afternoon on April the 24th. Thank you very much.
Okay.